We're going to start in Colossians chapter 4, and for the fourth message in a row, all new verses. Very strange. And we're going to enter some areas that I can tell you right now, nobody is going to like. You won't like it. And most won't obey. How sad is that? Nobody will like it, and most won't obey. That's what we're looking at. Sounds like a party. I want you to consider, realize, and admit that it is harder to read and write than it is to hear and talk. It doesn't take much effort at all to hear and talk. It takes a greater effort, and it matters, and it's relevant to read and write. And so a hurdle will be set forth today that will require more of people than the customary resources required to, like, hear, parentheses partially, and talk, parentheses sporadically. That being the case, our title is The Letter Law. What's going to happen is what happens oftentimes is that the letter law, the message, will be bandied about as standing for one matter. The one matter, and I'm going to describe what the letter law is in a minute. Now I'm going to give you some Bible so you can actually join me in the truth and the faith in Christ and join in the work. But I just warn you ahead of time that what's going to happen is people are going to say, oh yeah, the letter law, yeah, I know that. And yet I'm giving you an opportunity today to join me in the truth. But that part you'll probably forget. What'll happen, though, and what is dangerous and happens with the numbers that have already fallen, is that ultimately there will be an accumulation of bitterness that eventually is overflowing to the point where you justify your exit from this ministry on the basis of such bitterness. The letter law will be offensive. The letter law will foster such bitterness if you're not joining it. I'm not Jesus, and I'm not Paul, but I do follow them and what they've written and said and done. In addition, you need to do so. The letter law essentially is that if I share something with you, especially non-publicly, you need to write a letter and share what you learned with others. Informally, this has been the case on occasion, and almost unanimously it has not been followed. That changes today at great expense for you to join me just a little meager little bit in what I do in ministering the gospel. There are exceptions and exemptions to this. I exempt my family and my parents, for I have authorities with them that I don't have with the rest of you. In addition, if we are discussing a fellowship matter, for instance, I give you an example. If I text the door and I say, hey, brother, I know it's not pretty, hang in there. I'm not really requiring the door to go home, get on his computer, and say, Trent sent me a text today, and it said, hey, brother, I know things aren't pretty, hang in there. You're not my little spokesperson. You're my little writer. Those days may come, but we're not doing that today. I'm just having you share what has especially non-publicly been shared with you, that you may share it with others. It is the letter law. It will be required. If you don't do it, I will not do that with you anymore. Ouch. But it's going to take some discernment on your part as to what was fellowship and what was something you received that you ought to share with others. You would do well to know it and follow it. My ultimate hope in this is that we can get some brothers to that 2 Corinthians 3, where John got very briefly but could not sustain it. And that is that you become actual letters, that you, your physical person, your existence, become an actual letter from this ministry to the world, to whoever, to other parts of this body, that you become the letter, that your life, your example, the words you speak that are true and wholesome and right, in fact, you become the letter. You don't write the letters. I am the letter. And that example was set out years ago where John lived in that for a short while. But my goal, my hope, is ultimately we get to the point where we have letters in the ministry, not just letter writers. But we'll never have letters if we don't have letter writers, because your heart is exposed if you're not willing to obey the letter law. We're going to Colossians chapter 4. We'll get to the Bible. We're going to look at four purposes of the letter law. Not so bad. Should be pretty straightforward. Four purposes. There are many, as we'll see, but I'm going to just give you four. We aren't going to stay here all day. In Colossians chapter 4, our first purpose is a major payoff. I just want you to, it's like hitting the lotto, but Sultan's not here right now, so I'll say it. It's like hitting the lotto, whisper. It's like going to Vegas, throwing a nickel in on your way, checking out of your hotel, and hitting it big. Major payoff in Colossians 4. No, nothing, Sultan, never mind, nothing. In verse 16, Paul writes, "After this letter has been read to you, see that it is also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you in turn read the letter from Laodicea." Interesting, huh? After this letter, the Colossian letter, after this letter has been read to you, see that it is also read in the church of the Laodiceans. After this letter is read to you, you're in Colossae and you receive this letter. This is typically how it goes, all right? You receive. It's pretty much an endless way that things go in this ministry. You receive. And you can even receive publicly while other people are falling asleep. While somebody else is addressed, you see what's really going on, a truth that helps you in your life, and you receive it. After this letter has been read to you, after it's been shared with you, after it's been given to you, we're good at that. You receive it. Whether you do anything with it or not, I don't know. Whether you understand it fully or grow into it, I don't know. But you do receive it, just like the Colossians do. But Paul knows that if I crank out this letter to the Colossians, and it dies with the Colossians, it's just so expensive to have to do that. So, Paul writes, after this letter has been read to you, see that. That is the standard, the call. See that. It's up to you. It looked like Phil was in a side conversation with a child that came up to him pointing to the teeter-totter when this truth was spoken, and I noticed it, and I can't let it go, and I got to see to it that Phil heard that. I received it. It was clear. I know, Phil. I got to see that he hears it. That's the standard. You cannot be content to take it and die with it. Though it is easier to hear and talk, you're going to have to read and write. After this letter has been read to you, see that it is also read in the church of the Laodiceans. Share the letter of Colossians with the church in Laodicea. They're in desperate need of it. Those in Laodicea were actually rebuked by Jesus when he returned in Revelation 2 and 3. The church in Laodicea has problems that are common to man and common to real ministries. And Paul is letting the Colossians know, because they might want to feel like a pet project, like, ha, we got some insight. And you can see all of the impure motivation. You can see all kinds of things. The laziness is like, yeah, I guess so, whatever. Well, that letter's pretty short. You can see all the, we got a letter from Paul. Man, anybody else get a letter from Paul? He got a letter from Paul. and you can see all the impurity. Share it with the Laodiceans. See that you do that. What I'm sharing with you today is simply the Bible, though it will offend you and require more of you, and require more of you even as you're pedaling as fast as you can on your little treadmill and can't seem to keep up with the 1.4 miles an hour it was set to. And now more is being required that you be a courier of what you receive from me. I'm not laying this down for everybody, but for me. Everyone else has to speak for themselves. But you can do the math of whether you want to talk to me or not. If it's too expensive, don't talk to me. Share this with the Laodiceans. See, that's what you do. It's supposed to be, I receive. And I see that this does not just benefit me, but I see that this benefits everybody. That's what I do. That's how I live. That must be the case. That must be your life. It is not the case today. He goes on and he says, and that you, in turn, read the letter from Laodicea. Apparently, they got their own letter. If you're like me, you're like, so why isn't that in the Bible? And now you're like, yeah, that's a good one. I can tell you why it's not in the Bible. Probably the same reason we don't have letter teachings on the website publicly. It's like some stuff is spoken in the living room among the family. And this was something Paul wrote to Laodicea that God just isn't going to give you. You don't need it. And if you're hungry for more scriptures, you're really dull. You know, the scriptures are deeper than will ever be. You don't want a bigger Bible, do you? Seriously? A bigger Bible? I need a Britannica encyclopedia set of Bible. I don't feel that way. We cut this Bible in half, and I'm happy. So before you bark at God as to where's that Laodicean letter shared with the Colossians, understand that not everything gets shared with everybody at all times, and that God sees to that. But the fact is that I know what the Colossians are going to get out of reading the Laodicean letter is not so much teaching and instruction, for Paul could have included that in their letter. But what they're going to receive is an understanding of how the Laodiceans are doing. And you might think, oh, that's all? Nothing for me? And you just expose as having a horrible heart. Because the issue is, the Laodiceans were written a letter from Paul. I want you to read it. I want you to see how they were rebuked. See, I send out letters and I might address one person. And it goes to everybody. And you're like, oh, boy, that wasn't addressed to all. Hey, amen. I better call that brother. See if he's okay. And amen. It's good for you to know how other people are being addressed. It's good for you to know what is being taught to other people for their benefit. That has to be the case. There are a number of things that happen if you do this simple thing in the Colossians 4:16 and you live it. One, it is exactly like this, which is a miracle. You wondered how Jesus, and it just comes alive, the Bible just comes alive. You wonder how Jesus could possibly feed all these people with a couple fish and a few loaves of bread and still have basketfuls left over after it was done. And he's able to do it in a way that we can actually do it right here. So let's think of it. You are served, I'm telling you, if I'm talking to you, you are served filet mignon, perfectly prepared on a plate for you. You then have the opportunity, by the grace of God, literally, actually, to take that filet mignon and consume it and give an infinite number of that filet to everybody else. I want you to know the filet mignon I had today on a side conversation at the pavilion. Boom, filets for everybody. You could see to it. You could make it happen. That is a miracle. You get one filet paid for by me. And then you, if you'll just flip a switch and participate even minimally, provide that very same filet of truth for everybody you know or anybody you want to include. It's buy one, get an infinite number free. And this is like stuff worth getting free. You know, the stuff you think you get for free, which actually ends up with a hook in your nose, isn't really free. But this stuff's free with no strings attached. And it is what I'm calling for in the letter law. It is what God would have us do. It is required. You have an opportunity to multiply time and opportunity, which is unbelievable and amazing. We live in an age where you can multiply time and opportunity by providing an infinite number of fillets given to you that you didn't even pay for with other people through a minimal effort of your own. And as time is always short and opportunities are always few, and that's true, you can multiply them by obeying the letter law. Not to do so is going to get you in a lot of trouble with God. God's going to look very disfavorably. And it fulfills the Bible, and all of a sudden the scriptures open up to where you see, man, as a minister, as a disciple, as someone who cares, as someone who participates, someone who gives a rip, somebody who bothers. All right, it's starting to come together here. Not only can I do this, but I must do this. How have I not been doing this? How is it that I've got notes of conversations, of food, buried in a notebook 4 volumes old that never saw the light of day once it hit my ears? That's a good question. And you wonder why it seems hard trudging for you. You wonder why God's favor doesn't seem overflowing to you. You wonder why. I think you possibly got the answer to any problem you could possibly ever encounter. The payoff of the letter law is immense. Look in Luke 11. You're going to be tested, though. Purpose of Luke 11, we're going to test you. The letter law will test you. It will test you. You'll be tested in more ways than we're going to cover. We'll cover a few, give you a little flavor. A little spice, a little season. You decide. In Luke chapter 11, one verse, verse 23, Jesus speaking. He who is not with me is against me. And he who does not gather with me scatters. All right, that's a lot said in one verse. But I give you an example as Jesus gives warnings here. And I give you an example of it happening hard and fast, not pretty. An example that over the years I've mentioned here and there. If you look in Acts, don't turn there, you just write it down and look later, or just say, oh yeah, I know that verse. In Acts 15:38, where Paul and Barnabas, set apart but joined together by the Spirit previously, are coming apart and are having a sharp disagreement about Barnabas' cousin Mark. Because Paul is ready to go visit disciples. He's ready to see people and strengthen people that they have converted and built up. And Barnabas is ready to roll. Barnabas wants to bring Mark. Paul's like, no way, we're not taking Mark. Why is Paul saying, no way, we're not taking Mark? Because the Bible says that Mark did not continue in the work. And Paul lived the letter law. And this is a big old thing. I can't finish it all today, right? You have to bring a spiritual life sometime to the party. We have 164 hours a week that we don't meet. Use them. Paul was not going to spend his time, opportunity, or his wisdom on somebody who does not continue in the work. You don't want to continue in the work, Paul's done with you. To be honest, me too. You don't want to join in the work, I love you, you can be a disciple, but somebody like Barnabas is going to have to take care of you, and that is what happened. To the glory of God and the Holy Spirit, yes, Barnabas, cousin of Mark, took Mark home. They went home. Paul grabbed other brothers and wheeled and dealed with faithful brothers who joined in the work. Barnabas took Mark home, built him up, and later in life, in a glory to the Holy Spirit, Mark became useful to the ministry of Paul by Paul. Amen. But at that time, the letter law in effect, you don't continue in the work. You're not coming. You're in the way. You're a waste of time. Telling you something is like a black hole. It just never comes out of there. Just sucking everything dry. That was Mark. Sorry, he can't even come. Sharp disagreement. I'm out of here. Brothers, let's go. And then we get to Jesus, who lays down some standards that are just as intense. In verse 23, he who is not with me is against me. I know you'd like to have some middle ground, and you'd like to say, I'm not against you. I'm just not in agreement. You are against me. There is no middle ground. There is no wiggle room. There is no place for you to place your lukewarm life. He who is not with me is against me. Jesus said it. It is true. You either join me in the letter of law, and this is just one sliver of an example of the letter of law, or you are against the letter of law. You think it's garbage and hogwash. You think it's a waste of time and a bunch of puffery. You go ahead and be bitter and offended. Good luck. May God give you a Barnabas, and may you prove to be like Mark, willing to learn, but just young and immature. And for us, that's going to be a tough sell. You've been around too long to claim that. He who is not with me is against me. No middle ground here. The fact is, if you receive and do not turn right around and be a giver, you are against me. I give to you and you receive, you turn around and give it not, you are against me. I can no longer pretend that you're just weak or that you're just forgetful or that, you know, you're just busy and who has time to read and write. That it didn't occur to you that the example set before you is not obvious enough. That the reception you receive on an endless, constant, year after year, day after day, moment after moment basis is not enough. And then maybe another decade of unlimited service to you will actually kick in some gears when you're gray that it's like, oh, maybe I ought to do some of this stuff rather than live off the fat of the land. I'm sorry, that day may or may not come, but it will not come with me because after this day, the letter law is in effect. And I will do the math. You will have to discern as to, was he just fellowshipping with me or what? You work that out and I can work with you. But I will let you know, because I will keep track. I will let you know, brother, you're against me. I love you, but you're against me. And here's how. You rectify it or don't rectify it. You look for Barnabas or you look for me. You do what you do. No middle ground. And he who does, Jesus says, middle verse 23, and he who does not gather with me scatters. We would rather put it another way. We'd rather put it in a way that it's like, well, you know, I'm just not as good at gathering. Well, I'm just not as gifted. Well, I just don't have the opportunity. Well, you scatter. Why don't we just call it what it is? Instead of coming up with a laundry list of excuses as to why you can't gather with me, why don't we just call it what it is? You are someone who scatters. I'll give you an example, and it's painful, painful, painful. The fact is that we live a Bible that, I'm going to move down here. We live, Nana's lathering up. We live a Bible that is true and powerful. It cannot be resisted. It will be victorious. There is nothing that can be done to overpower it. It is all powerful and all authoritative. It is what it is. But it looks like something else. It looks like if my hands are on the situation gets delivered. But if other hands are on the situation does not get delivered, which makes it look like a ministry of me, which is a lie and is not true. But because you do not gather with me, make the effort with me, and though you may be feeble at it and hunt eggs like Jordy, who's not as savvy as Asia, you're not willing to either be embarrassed or try and fail, the letter law counts you out. Good luck. For instance, you all face your own personal demons, your own crosses, your own cross, your own life. The demons that come for you, your own weaknesses. You all have your own. And it is possible in the recesses of your heart to believe that maybe I'm just cursed. Maybe it's just not meant to be for me. Some write honestly about having such thoughts. Maybe it's just not for me. It's for others, but not for me. Maybe I just won't be able to do it. And it is a lie. But because you do not gather with me, you scatter. Because you do not put to death and to rest such idle notions as those. I'll give you some examples personally. Like, I could join that game, but it's just not true. I could say, you know, homosexuals just don't make it. Because everyone I knew who ever became a disciple who had a homosexual offending life fell away. And I could just say, well, I think that's just not going to work. So maybe I just bag it. In addition, there's that due penalty for that perversion, and that ton of bricks is just unworkable. And in a weak moment, you're like, those curses eventually will prevail. Beyond that, God sees to it that he will frustrate the intelligence of the intelligent. And I could say, the only thing that my four majors and my law school education and my greater intelligence than normal is going to get me is God fighting me and rendering foolish my intelligence constantly. You know, I got God as a, you know, basically dropping obstacles and problems all over the place around me all the time. Eventually, God is going to get what he wants, which is to get rid of people like me. Beyond that, in terms of the world, if we look around the world and how people live and the squalor most are in, it would appear that I have riches that are material in addition to those that are clearly spiritual. And I could say and believe and read that it is just easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to go to heaven. I ought to just bag it now, go to Vegas, get my jollies, and be done, because it's obviously the curses are stacked up, the handwriting is on the wall, and it cannot be lived. But you don't hear me talk like that, because I have a Bible that is a gathering one. One that knows that no matter what you think your personal curses are, and there are many that you're not open about, and notwithstanding the message equals that it's true, but kind of poo-pooed in the hearts of people like, yeah, well, I guess that's the obligatory I hope everybody feels better message, which it's not. You scatter you and yours and the ministry by not gathering with me to a truth and a Jesus that conquers all of this and makes you, in fact, more than a conqueror. And that's just the way it is. And that's one sliver of a small example as to how, if you don't gather with me, you scatter. If you do not share what I give you that is life setting free, that is truth and love and life, and you don't share it, you scatter the flock that sits there with their own personal demons, unable to conquer them, because the people who've got it in their notebooks have set them free, have put those notebooks away and broken out another one to take their dutiful notes when we get together next time. Even beyond that, I know that many of you will take notes while I talk to you, which is good, but I don't read those things being sent out to people who weren't part of our two-way conversation. And in that, you scatter. You make it look like the Bible is not the answer. You make it look like you're getting by on something other than what you're getting by on. It cannot be and will not be tolerated. And you will be tested upon receipt of spiritual food from me. Your heart will be sifted and tested and revealed upon receipt whether you turn around and give. The letter law will require it, or the well from me, provided by me, will run dry as it has your name on it. It will be a bubbling brook elsewhere, though. And that's just the letter law. It's just the Bible. In Matthew 10:8, you just write it down and look at it, or say, yeah, that's another verse I already know, and it's good to be a disciple that knows so much. Jesus said what? Freely you have received, freely give. Freely you have received, freely give. It must be the case. It must be the case that you freely give as you have freely received. I didn't bill you for it. I didn't tabulate for you. I don't hold it against you. You got to freely give. You don't have to be told by me. Now make sure you share that, because it might benefit others. Freely give as you have freely received. That's the Bible. And you will be tested and sifted as to whether you'll submit to those truths that Jesus spoke himself. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. You have an opportunity for completeness. Amazing. An opportunity for completeness. Seriously? Yeah. Seriously. You up for that? Most of you walk around cursed as you think you are, unequal as you think you are, and the idea of completeness you think would be boastful, and yet the Bible would call for it and expects it and demands it. Your ministry needs it, and your people need it more than anybody on the bleed out. And I'm going to give you an opportunity here briefly. One of the purposes of the letter law is to make you complete. You refuse the letter law, you'll always be a fraction of a disciple. You'll always be a fraction of a person before God. Go ahead. Have at it. Have yourself. Well, I'm only half a person. That by choice, right? Yeah, well, you know, reading and writing's rough. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 9 to 11. I do not want to seem to be trying to frighten you with my letters. For some say, his letters are weighty and forceful, but in person he is unimpressive and his speaking amounts to nothing. Such people should realize that what we are in our letters when we are absent, we will be in our actions when we are present. Verse 9. I do not want to seem to be trying to frighten you with my letters. That's a great thing to say. It's reminiscent to me of how he writes to the Galatians that he would like to change his tone. He'd like to be with the Galatians now and change his tone because he is perplexed about them. Exclamation point. That's a great thing to say, a great thing to write. The beauty of writing is not so much your penmanship or your grammar. That's not the beauty. The beauty of writing is the fact that you can do so carefully, that you could do so correctly, that you could do it thoughtfully, that with due consideration, you could do it. The beauty of writing is that it requires more of you than your normal mouthing. And as you do what requires more of you, it is some revelation of heart that you're willing to do that. It is a revelation of a life, that one that is at least curtailed to the point where you have the opportunity to write and take that opportunity when you get it. But the beauty of writing is that and more. The beauty of being able to read writing is the fact that you can read it again and again. And my hope is again and again and again and again and again and again. Dot, dot, dot. Why don't you read it again? Unfortunately, what do we have? We have people trigger happy on the delete button that you sat down and carefully, thoughtfully, painstakingly in many cases, crafted a letter and sent it to somebody who, after a quick skim through in between all their other chores and several interruptions, deleted it for reasons unknown to me, and well, so much for that. The beauty of reading is that it's possible to fight with it, wrestle it, understand it, get it, have it, possess it, own it. It's possible to become a different person and bring that different person to it. It's possible to grow in your understanding of it. It's possible to see again and again an example that is set of someone who does obey the letter law. And so it is great that Paul writes, I do not want to seem to be trying to frighten you with my letters. Because the fact is, Paul is not trying to frighten them. But what he writes is frightening. But what he writes can be read again and understood more fully. What he writes is living and active and available. It cannot be misremembered. It cannot be distorted and perverted other than if you just insist on it. You cannot quote Paul in his letter wrongly unless you delete it, talk off the cuff to someone else who deleted it, and you have a bogus conversation in the gutter somewhere about what was said when neither of you have it anymore to read and verify. That's typically the e-ticket out of the kingdom as you shake your head at that letter that neither of you had before you. It's very powerful. It is much more powerful, availing, beneficial than the spoken word. Takes a lot more effort, though. A lot more heart. A lot more care and thought. Oh, my goodness, I'm pressed as it is. Can I just say this? So it's great that Paul doesn't want to seem to be trying to frighten them by their letters. they could read it again and see, oh, wow, boy, I just took that so differently. I just was in la-la land spiritually, as many of us are occasionally in la-la land, or I'm bothered land, or overwhelmed land, or some land other than the land of the kingdom. And you read letters and are all over the place with them. You could always go back and read it and go, man, that's so clear. What was my problem? That's you, and we could get humility there. Verse 10. I like this. For some say, his letters are weighty and forceful, but in person he is unimpressive, and his speaking amounts to nothing. You know, that's not the only time that's really said or mentioned or addressed in the Bible. It clearly appears that Paul, who was called a babbler, like, what is this babbler trying to say? That's not a very good review of your speech. You know? And then Paul spoke, and then they said, what is this babbler trying to say? One, you're called a babbler. And then you're not even being credited with saying anything. You're trying to say something, which isn't working, making you a babbler. It's beautiful. It's clear that Paul was a better writer than a speaker, himself saying, you know, and admitting he's not a trained speaker. I appeal to you in this verse 10, though. For some say his letters are weighty and forceful, in person he's unimpressive, and his speaking amounts to nothing. That's all right. Paul had to work it out. Some of you don't like to write because you're not good at it. Some of you don't like to write because you're not good at the keyboard. Why don't you work it out? We read the writings of a guy who was thought of as, in his speaking, unimpressive, and his speaking amounting to nothing, in addition to being untrained in it, and in addition to being a babbler trying to say something. He did not hold back, however, for his speaking caused riots in city after city and got him in all kinds of trouble, and he did not yield to the weakness of, I'm just not good at this. He was not Sultan. But he could write up a storm in prison. And I want you to work it out like Paul had to work it out. Work this out. Am I exempt from the letter law because I dropped out of high school? No. Am I exempt from the letter law because keyboarding was never my subject and I'm Hunt and Peck all the way? No. You could take a class on how to type. Go take one. Well, you know, class. Don't take one. Look for Barnabas. Verse 11. I like this. Paul gets aggressive. You could get aggressive. Such people, the people who say such bad things about Paul, such people should realize, Paul's working it out and he is faithful, it will come to fruition. Such people should realize that what we are in our letters when we are absent, we will be in our actions when we are present. Ha ha! Such people should realize that what we are in our letters when we are absent. When we are absent, hey, this has been a busy week. I feel for people like Adore. People who struggle with the reading of 48 new emails. Are you kidding me? We don't even meet. We don't even meet at the houses anymore. You know, the old 17 emails on the food? We don't even do. I mean, we're talking 48 chapter letters. Anyway, I feel for such people, but when we are absent, we write. That's the Bible. Paul says, such people should realize what we are in our letters when we are absent. When we are apart, which is all week. Brothers are like, we're not apart all week. Ah, that's true. You do make mashed potatoes on Tuesdays, and I'm not picking on you. I'm letting you do Paul verse 10 here and work it out. It's all good. But that's a short period of time, and it's not everybody. And we write when we're absent, that's fine. And we will be what we write when we're absent, and when we are, we will be that in our actions when we are present. We will be the same in letter and in deed, when in person and not. There are great advantages in person, though. In person, you can actually touch someone. You can see them. You can see their eyes. You can see the light of their body and the light of their soul and see how they really are. You can comfort them in ways you can't so much in a letter unless very carefully crafted, which is possible but not likely and not very common. LaShawn used to get in trouble for writing one way and being a complete other, but her writings lately show a genuineness is what she's bringing to the table and are very dangerous in and of themselves, which just her letters prove themselves now. prior, her letters prove that she got into the Bible, she found a scripture, and she started her letter with that to front to be something she's not. Then she fell off the map, but now she comes strong in the letter, proving that, whoa, the letter itself is weighty, and the letter itself proves that LaShawn has repented, and the letter and the actions match, and that's awesome. And it should be that way. You want to be a complete person. Your letters and your ministry in person have got to be the same. They have to match. Generally, they kind of do match. The problem is those who participate when we get together are the same who participate in letter. Those who don't really write in letter don't really much participate in person either. And so they do kind of match. You're either zero and zero, or, you know, nine and nine. So we kind of have the matchup down once we got LaShawn on board. She was the last holdout. We have people matched up. The problem is, however, those people not participating much at all in person or in letter need to kind of amp it up to a level of, I don't know, one and a half and one and a half. That what is spoken boldly on a Tuesday is not followed up with any sort of correspondence, reading, writer, any clue whatsoever. And you cannot discharge your duties according to the Bible or the letter law, which is half. For Paul says, what we are in our letters when we are absent, we will be in our actions when we are present. That's the standard, and I'm sorry that you'd rather talk than write. And I'm sorry that you'd rather have somebody tell you and you just hear it. Chad, don't write me that long letter. Just call me and talk my ear off while, you know, I do other things on the phone. Though you'd rather hear it than read it and talk it than write it, it's not the Bible. The letter law won't permit it. And the 2 Timothy 2:2 brothers who are reliable and therefore then later qualified also to teach others that Paul told Timothy to take care of and go after is what we're looking for. Paul told Timothy to go find brothers that were reliable and would also be qualified to teach others. That's who you spend your time on. That's what he did. Those are complete men doing complete work. Those are complete disciples doing the complete work before them. Those are the people who put their hands on it and finish it. Those are the people who bring the boy to me, and the game is over. With a completeness, with a life and a letter that match. In person, in letter, matching perfectly. And not at the zero and zero level. For many would be able to say, I match. It's like, unfortunately, you do match. No account and no account. 1 Corinthians 16. I look forward to the day when other people will rise up out of necessity of what they're sharing and giving me and wasting, and out of a life that is sharp and lean to say, I am now a letter law brother, and you cannot mess with me like this. And you require people to account for what you give. Be careful before you do that, but that's the place to get to. It's the place to get to, so I welcome it. As I welcome and look forward to those who are actual letters. 1 Corinthians 16. Verse 15 and 16. You know that the household of Stephanas were the first converts in Achaia. And they have devoted themselves to the service of the saints. I urge you, brothers, to submit to such as these and to everyone who joins in the work and labors at it. You know that the household of Stephanas were the first converts in Achaia, and they have devoted themselves to the service of the saints. Devoted is a powerful word. You have to be of it and about it. It has to be something that describes you. But check out what happens with these devoted people who are serious about what the gospel actually says and less serious about the way church works. I urge you, brothers, verse 16, to submit to such as these and to everyone who joins in the work and labors at it. To submit to such as these. The fourth purpose of the letter law, and it will reveal the leaders in the ministry. If you have it on your heart to lead, it is a noble desire. It is necessary and required. One of the purposes of the letter law is it will, in and of itself, reveal those who lead. For he says, I urge you, brothers, to submit to such as these. The leaders are the people who are devoted and work at it. He says, to submit to such as these and to everyone who joins in the work. You join in the work of receiving and giving, receiving and giving, receiving and giving. It's like a hot potato. There's no way on earth that I'm going to receive this and then keep it for myself. There is no way I'm not going to share this. There's no way I am going to be caught in dead possession of this stuff I did not give away. And that should be how you are with things you receive from God, which makes me nervous about how little you're receiving from God, or makes me nervous about how selfish you are as you have it in a hidden vault. Make sure nobody gets any. I mean, which is it? This is nothing coming from God, or I do have a selfish vault. It's kind of like, well, let me pharisaically get back to you on that and find out what the lesser evil is, and then I'll answer. But the leaders are those who join in the work. You are to submit to such as these and everyone who joins in the work. The standard is joining in the work. God showed me this. I'm sharing it with you. And labors at it. Labors at it. You're going to labor at something that's going to take time and attention and effort and sweat and heart and late nights and early mornings. Labors at it. You labor at things that are not this. You labor at things that pay you, but labor at this? Labor at the Bible, labor at the ministry of the word. Labor, I think of two examples. I mean, are you kidding me? So Lindsay's off cleaning floors, nasty, nasty, sweaty, nasty floors at gyms at 2:39 a.m. And her thoughts are consumed with us. And your thoughts in such a situation, men or women, would be? I hate this job. If you're a woman, it's like, my goodness, why can't I have married a brain surgeon? Chad's got me cleaning floors. What kind of a gig is this? Why can't this guy get a real job and us have a real life? Wouldn't those be expected thoughts from Lindsay at 2:39 a.m., cleaning nasty sweat from nasty people off a floor for a few shekels? As Chad's home getting some Z's? That just seems bad. And her heart, as she labors at that, is to labor for you and then write about it. Ladies, your heart would be, I married a loser. Boys, your heart would be, I'm cursed. I think I'm just not going to make it. I think I'm just going to drop out and I don't know, whatever. I know it's all stacked against me anyway, those things I talked about earlier. Equal schmequels. I know all about you. The other example we've seen this very week. Perhaps you are exhausted by it. I keep thinking there's a snake about. Or somebody's telling someone to be quiet. And this is often the case. Usually the person telling someone to be quiet is louder than the person who's being told to be quiet. But it's just Nana hosing down. Anyway, oh, I got you, Nana. I'm a poster child for hosing down. Though I haven't, I'm just trying to stay on the move. This week, the volume of writing that Sultan has done exemplifies someone who labors at being eager to clear himself and accounting exhaustively. And you see the time of day in which those letters are coming down the pike. None of those are good times of day, right? None of those are good times. 2:06 a.m., 5:21 a.m., 10:36 p.m. It's like, I'm doing the math here. Let's see, 5 minus 2. Okay, best case, we're getting 3 hours sleep here. On my third cold. Oh, that would make sense. 3 hours, third cold. I got you now. But Sultan has labored at writing and following the letter law. he talks to me, he immediately has a bill. Well, here's the bill for your conversation. I thought this was a free ministry. Oh, no. Now I don't get any sleep for several days as I account for our conversation, which he does at this point on his own initiative. You know, freely receiving and freely giving. Many are probably troubled like, geez, haven't you already answered this? How many more long emails must I read from this guy? You keep writing, brother, and you set the example, and the letter law brothers will go to the mountains, and the non-letter laws will go, are you Barnabas? Are you Barnabas? Do we have a Barnabas? Holler, holler on the mountain. We don't even have a Barnabas. What do we do now? I don't know. But Sultan has labored at his letters. It's a lot harder to write them than read them, and you don't even like to read them. If we took an honest account and had you hand in, have you read them all? No. No. Oh, no, with an unsmiley face. Yes. No. You have to labor at it. Seriously labor at it. Some of you are close to the vest, really, you know, like you're playing cards in the world. You got to write about it, and you got to be honest about it. I'll tell you this, you can know by faith that all temptations are common to man. And 1 Corinthians 10:13 is true. That, you know, no one has been tempted by anything that isn't common. And so whatever you share is going to be helpful to people who face the very same common temptations that you face. And that if you just minister in a written, understandable, careful, thoughtful, enduring way, it'll be available forever and always. You'll fulfill the letter law. God can undertake making you complete. You'll immediately be in charge of stuff. You'll have a great reward for your labor. I'll tell you what, you'd be able to check the old productive thing on the first grade chart. Are you productive? Do you have anything to show for this life in Christ? Oh yeah, I've got a book of letters I've written that are true, accurate, careful, and on. I'm going to give that book of letters to my kids, you could say. They'll be hooked up. They'll be more informed than anyone they've ever met in their life. It would be productive. I could go on and on about what it would be. But at a minimum, people's temptations are common. And you sharing honest things, you don't know who that'll help, but it's going to help a lot of people. Like everybody who's awake will be helped. The Bible bleeds of this stuff. If you consider the scripture, the Bible just bleeds out the letter law. It just bleeds it out, not only to mention that the Bible is full of letters, but it just bleeds it out. These are not my ideas. My ideas, we all get a big house, we stop fooling around, we all live in that big house, we hang out and live together forever, and amen, I'm happy with that. See, I'm happy with that. I'm like, God, can we do that? And God's like, I already built that in heaven. Get busy there, punk. It's like, you have built that in heaven, because I tried that. Shal and I tried that. We were building that. We would all fit in it. It'd be great. That's my idea. I'm good with that. There's a lot of lost people. I don't really care. You know, it's like, I'm good with you guys. You guys are all right, but I'm looking for, like, some people I like more. No, that's not it at all. I'm totally 100%, God is my witness, content with you guys. We could move in, add no one to the party, and I'm good. I don't have any needs at all. This is not my idea. This is God's bad idea. And the Bible bleeds this stuff out as you consider it. It just bleeds it out. And it's just the way it is. It is too expensive for us to function without the letter law. It's just too expensive. It's just, I can't have that many conversations. It's so expensive that the fact is that rather than talk to you, if you're not going to live the letter law, rather than talk to you, I might as well just record it myself in my own lair. And I might as well just preach it and teach it and record it and upload it. And I might as well write it myself and talk to nobody. It's that expensive. But there's a lot of enrichment you get in face-to-face fellowship. But it's too expensive to pay for that if you don't follow the letter law. So we're kind of stuck with that. In Luke chapter 1, we're not turning there. We're done, you know. In Luke chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. Luke outlines the reasons why he's writing Luke, which is great. You know, Luke didn't hang with Jesus. But he made rounds and by the Spirit was able to put together an account, what he calls an orderly account. That was Luke's gig. I'm going to put together an orderly account. And he did. And you could, in your writings, have the same attitude as Luke in Luke 1, 1 to 4. And that is, I will provide, construct, and carefully share an orderly account. Like one of the things I appealed with Sultan. It's like, brother, you're kind of killing us with the appetizers here. You got to comprehensively go through and get a handle on this thing. Because I don't know what I said in LT 8 or 7 or 6. I don't know. I don't listen to it, and I don't know when it's going. I know it's not pretty, and I feel bad, but I don't go back and listen. But I'm like, I can think of several things that have not been accounted for. You need to comprehensively go through it, and you need to handle it in a swoop. You know, so it's like swoop, swoop, swoop. Trying. It's a live one. But you need to put together an orderly account as you write. And in writing, you can do that. And in speaking, that's hit and miss. There's some benefit to that, but writing, you can do what Luke did. This is the price of doing business with me. Sorry. The price of doing business with me is the letter law. That's just how it is. Is that all right? Everyone's like, nope, I'm one of those people you talked about at the beginning. I won't like it and I won't do it. Amen. I don't know when Barnabas arrives. Let's pray. Father, you get what you want. We thank you for that. You deserve what you get and you get what you want and we will submit to it. Father, the opportunity that we have to be like Jesus and multiply fish and bread is amazing beyond comprehension and yet completely at our disposal. That is also amazing, unbelievable. That's just too good to be true. We thank you for that, Father. Father, I pray that my brothers and sisters do not see this as a burden, but as an opportunity and a responsibility. That they don't see it as another task, but Father, an opportunity to be complete, an opportunity to lead, which is a noble heart to have. I really pray, Father, that that my brothers and sisters will be discerning and that what they share will be more edifying as they share what they've been freely given. Father, we thank you for just the flavor of your word, just revealing this to be the case. It being the thing that's just missing in our lives and in our ministry, and what leaves us short. Father, I pray my zero and zero write and participate brothers and sisters will get some numbers on the board. Even if they have to work it out like Paul, who certainly had great weaknesses when it came to speaking. I pray, Father, they will do that and work it out. Father, I pray for the wisdom to apply and hold fast and sternly, according to your will, the requirements of the letter law. I am an old softy. Really. I am easy on people. You would have me hold them to what the Bible bleeds out and what has been shared today. It is for their good and the good of others that they have got to help. The price, Father, of joining me in the letter law is they're going to have to join in the work that I do just a wee little tiny bit. That is not too much to ask, Father, and we thank you for revealing that that's all it is. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.